Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today. A special look at the beef industry long-range plan. We're back in just a moment.
Coming up Saturday, February 19th at the Spur Ranch, Vinita, Oklahoma, it's the Hot Stove League Registered Angus Bull Sale. The sale begins at noon at the Spur Ranch, 14 miles west of Vinita, Oklahoma. Selling 80 registered Angus bulls. Call Jot and Renee Hartley for a sale book now at 918-256-2493. Don't miss the Spur Ranch Hot Stove League 2011 Angus Bull Sale, Saturday, February 19th, at the Spur Ranch, Vinita, Oklahoma.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Radio Oklahoma.
Agriculture's
Network.
Big business in Oklahoma, and nobody covers it better than Ron Hayes on the Radio Oklahoma Network. Ron is the source for agricultural news, news that means the difference sometimes between profits and losses on the farm. And that's why the National Cattlemen's Beef Association awarded Ron the Excellence in Agriculture Journalism Award. When you need up-to-the-minute information about Oklahoma agriculture, listen to farm broadcasters Ron Hayes and Ed Richards on this station.
Friends, welcome to a special online edition of our Beef Buzz, looking at the beef industry long-range plan for 2011 through the year 2013. Charles Miller, co-chair of the task force that put this draft proposal together that was approved last week by the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association with no dissenting votes. We wanted to talk with Charles today about this particular plan, about the committee that put it together, and where we may be going as a cattle industry with these goals in mind.
Well, the makeup of the task force was put together by both NCBA and CBB, the officers of both of those organizations. And somehow or other, I got recommended. Now, I can't answer exactly how that took place, but it was a very good task force. And I think my involvement goes back with my involvement on CBB. I've been on CBB in the past. I've served on a lot of committees within the joint committee structure. I've worked with NCBA in the past in various capacities. But I think as a whole, the group that was put together couldn't have been any better, because it represented such a wide cross-section of the industry. And it represented a cross-section of the industry that often doesn't get along with each other, if you know what I mean. An example, you know, we've got a packer and a producer standing here this morning talking to you all, and that's phenomenal. But that's what took place in those meetings. There was a very open dialogue. Everybody was just very open and about the process and sharing information. And so the makeup of committee, in my view, couldn't have been any better, because it truly represented every segment up and down the chain that we have.
What are the keys that you came up with?
Well, some of the keys that we came up with, of course, are listed in the plan there. And you know, we feel like that there's a tremendous opportunity, more than even we're seeing now, in farm markets. We put a lot of emphasis on that. There is a great deal of concern over our diminishing cow herd, and we put a lot of emphasis on that to try to not push that up in any great, because once you do that, you're doing away with supply again. But to try to stabilize our production to the point that we won't get into an area where we will lose market share because possibly we don't have supply to address it. So that was another critical factor. Our freedom to operate, that's kind of a perennial thing, but still, it's something that's on top of farmers' minds, of ranchers' minds, and across the board, on everybody's mind in the cycle. So that was another thing, needing to more fully and more completely to be more open and transparent about what we do, so that people can like us and like what we do. To be more proactive in getting that story out there, being able to address all the markets that we need to be identifying. One of those in particular was this millennial market. You know, a guy my age, we don't think about millennials, but they're out there, and it's a wide segment of our population, and It's an entity that needs to be addressed because they aren't aware of all the benefits of beef and what they can do with beef. So those were some of the key factors that we identified that we needed to work toward.
The first thing you mentioned was the international marketplace. Yes. Seems like tremendous opportunity, but I know that this trace back issue, the ability to provide them some identification on demand, that is a critical element of being able to further grow the market.
That is very true. And, you know, we received a great deal of information from the Meat Export Federation, from our export members on the task force. As well as some of our domestic retail and food service customers, there is a tremendous demand, and it's an overdue concern that we aren't able to have that program in place, and there is a real possibility that on the international market that could really hurt us at any point in time. We're not able to identify when that time will come. But you know, there's an initiative in place that involves various production organizations, membership organizations, that is now working with NCBA to try to get something started and off the ground, and we hope that we can see that built on and something take place here, because that is necessary for us going forward.
With all the pushback that the secretary got a couple of years ago with his listening sessions, you know, how do you overcome all the, I guess, the smaller producers that seem like it, you know, it's a government conspiracy?
Well, I don't know that is necessarily limited to smaller producers, but that's a tremendous question, because the same arguments are here today as they were before. I think what's being looked at now is more so in terms of a disease traceability program, and that seems to be a key area. You know, if we're able to prevent those market stopping events that can take place, that seems to be more of a sale, if you will, than actually tracing that, being able to trace that animal back, that some people are so concerned about. The bottom line is that we have to be realistic as an industry, and we have to realize that if we're going to move forward and if we're going to be able to compete not only domestically but globally in that market in the future, we're going to have to have some type of program in place that can address that issue.
One last question regarding resources. A lot of talk, I know, about the adequacy of the dollar head beef checkoff. How do we improve on that?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The checkoff dollars we're dealing with today are inadequate. Excuse me, and have been for quite some time. We're trying to take too few dollars and put them in too many places, if you will. And oftentimes when you do that, we aren't able to address a program to the extent that it needs to be addressed. So there needs to be an increase in checkoff dollars. You know, since that program took place back in the mid-80s, we're dealing with the same dollar, but everybody knows how that dollar's eroded. But then today, the cost of doing these programs and advertising and all these various things is so increased that we just don't have enough dollars to go around. Another, and one of the success factors, if you will, that's included in this plan is increasing the checkoff dollar that we have to deal with. Now, another of those is to increase the non-checkoff resources as well. Now, there's been some questions around that as to exactly what that means. The checkoff cannot do everything. We're in a position now in our society where the checkoff cannot do everything. What we need to do, and what we have tried to rally around in with this task force, is to create a pool of resources from within the industry, from outside the industry, organizations that feel the same way as we do in regard to agriculture and that type of thing. And all those aren't necessarily money resources. We're talking about human resources. We're talking about, if we have a need for some specific type of research, there are companies out there that already have that in place, and they can share human resources with us in that regard. So, you know, we feel like that there needs to be an increase in the checkoff to deal with what we legally and rightfully should be dealing with as far as the checkoff dollars go. But also we need to increase and create a pool of resources above and beyond checkoff dollars that can deal with production events and those type of things.
Kentucky cattle producer and one of the co-chairs of the Beef Industry Long Range Planning Task Force that submitted this plan to the cattle industry this last week in Denver. A special edition of your Beef Buzz today. I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.